Bible, it's a good thing to bring with you whenever you darken the door here. If you have one with you, turn to James chapter 4 tonight, if you would, please. James chapter 4. I want to just take the time and read perhaps first half of this chapter. Please follow in your own Bible as I begin in verse 1. Of James 4, you'll get the sense of what James is talking about here as we read these verses. He says in James 4, beginning in verse 1, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Let's pause a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, it's good for us to be here, and we're thankful for the opportunity to do so. But Lord, as we open your word now, would you use it as that sword of the Spirit that is able to pierce deeper than flesh and blood, and is able to pierce and divide between the soul and the spirit, and lay bare the very thoughts and motives of our heart. Pray tonight that you would use your word in that way, and as a result, our lives would be brought into proper order with yours, and that we would be a people that would walk out of here greatly blessed. We thank you for how much you care, how much you have done, who you are, for this time, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was thinking about it because tomorrow the administration is going to make a statement about the economic condition that our nation finds itself in. I was thinking about how uniquely blessed this United States of America has been for many, many years. We have enjoyed long-term prosperity in this nation. But of course, currently, we're experiencing a rising unemployment rate, a volatile stock market, and low consumer spending, along with surging gas prices. And all of that indicates that we are either in or at least heading toward what economists call a recession. What is a recession? Well, it's from the word recede, to recede. In financial terms, a recession is a period of slow economic growth that lasts anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. But I want to suggest this to you. I believe that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the worst possible recession. And I'm not talking about an economic recession, I'm talking about a spiritual recession. I believe that James 4 is really hitting at the heart of what brings about a spiritual recession in the church of the Lord Jesus. And that is, it is a spirit of worldliness. It's a self-centeredness. It's a fleshliness. It's a selfishness and a worldliness. You know what an idol is? An idol is simply choosing the wrong priorities and putting something in the place that only God should occupy. That's what an idol is. It's putting confidence in the wrong things. And I was wondering if perhaps the economic woes that we are facing as Americans is really a wake-up call about the misplaced values that we have in our lives as believers. You know, it's important for officials to watch the U.S. economy, but how much more important it is for believers to know the signs of spiritual recession, a slowdown in spiritual growth. Let me give you some of the signs of a spiritual recession. Not all of them, but some. If you can't share how the Lord has specifically worked in your life over the past week, then you're in a recession spiritually. If you have time to work and to enjoy pleasures, but you don't have time to spend with the Lord, you're in a spiritual recession. If you have money for the things that you want, and yet you don't seem to have money to give to the Lord, the local church, the Lord's work, then you're in a spiritual recession. If you have a bitter, unforgiving spirit, you are in a spiritual recession. And you know, there are steps that governments can take to turn around an economic recession. And obviously, there are also steps that believers must take if they are in a spiritual recession, if they are in a spiritual slowdown of their soul, a soul recession. What's the way out of a spiritual recession? I think James speaks to that beginning in the 7th verse and down through verse 10. And that's where we want to spend the bulk of our time in the remaining minutes that we have together in the Bible tonight. If you look at verse 7, here is the first step in the way out of a spiritual recession, a spiritual slowdown of growth. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. The first step out is really to submit. The word submit there, it means to order yourself, to appoint yourself, to arrange. It's actually a military term that means to enlist yourself under your superior officer. It's an urgent command that demands us to immediately comply, to voluntarily allow yourself to be ranked under God. Put yourself under the Lord's desires. Let God's chastening bring you to surrender. Remember what he said in that 6th verse, the verse before that? God resisteth the proud. God knows how to deal with our proud hearts, and he does. He chastens us when our hearts are proud. And what he's saying in the next verse, verse 7, is let God's chastening in your life be the means that brings you to surrender. Voluntarily choose to give up your way and let God have his way in your life because you know him. And if you really know him, you love him. But notice the second part of this. First, submit. Submit yourselves to God. But second, and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That word resist means to stand against. The word or name devil is a word that means slanderer. Never allow the slanderer to slander God in your thinking. The devil, I think, is a key player in the believer's spiritual recession. Because when you buy into selfishness and worldliness, that's the devil's playground. That's where he really can exert activity in your life. And so submit yourself to God, but resist, stand against the devil. And he says, and he'll flee from you. There is a guaranteed, always victorious place over him. Submit, resist. Submit to God, surrender to him, resist the devil, and there's a guarantee that you'll always be victorious. That's the first part of coming out of spiritual recession. Are you in one? Second one is this. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh means come near. Make your approach to God. In other words, God hasn't moved. God hasn't gone anywhere. If you don't feel as close to God as you once have, it's not because he's moved. He hasn't gone anywhere. And the fact is, according to this verse, he's ready and he's waiting for you to return to him. Because if you don't feel as close to him as you once did, you're the one that needs to return to the Lord. He says, come near, draw nigh. Come near. Come near to God and recommit yourself to him. And refocus your attention upon him. Really, that's what the true submission. Submit yourself to God, verse 7. If you really submit to God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pursue him. You're going to pursue fellowship with him. And when you do so, when you draw near to God, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out everything about yourself that displeases him. You're going to honestly admit that you need cleansing. And in that 8th verse, he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Now, when he uses the term sinners, that is one of the, like, maybe a couple of times in the whole New Testament that believers are called sinners. Believers are saints. This is just a shock, a slap in the face, to simply say, look, you're living like a sinner, and that's not what you are. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands. You say, hands are the outward part of our life. That's what he says here. Draw near to God. I'm going to talk about cleansing in a moment, so I'm not going to go any further with that. Drawing near, come near, God says. God wants you to come near to him. He doesn't want you to stay at a distance. God's not happy when we are standoffish to him, when we withdraw from him. He's calling us in passages like this and many others, draw near to me. Come near. And I think that's how you come out of a recession spiritually. Is you start by praying that God would, if you're not, give you a hunger for him. Ask God to make you hungry for him. How hungry are you tonight for the Lord? What are you hungry for, spiritually speaking? Because what I have found is, in the physical realm, which is true in the spiritual realm, you develop an appetite for what you eat. Mostly. And if you have a strong appetite for anything other than God, then you're primarily feeding on other things, on junk food, and not on a relationship with the Lord. Basically, he's saying, draw near, feed on Jesus, get hungry for the Lord. And if you do so, you will access that nourishing Christ life, which will be soul satisfying and will fill you with God's goodness. You want to come out of a spiritual recession? Start asking God to make you hungry for Him. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to His presence. Commit to spending regular time with Him in the Word of God and faithful church fellowship and worship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to keep your distance from the Lord. He says, come near, draw nigh. Go back to that word there in verse 8. Cleanse your hands. There's the third part of coming out of a spiritual recession. Submit, draw nigh, cleanse. Means to make clean. It's that if you come near to God, a nearness requires cleansing because we all have that filthiness of the flesh. We all have that residue of the flesh within us, that indwelling sin, and the pollution of the culture that we live in. And so cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And he goes on to say, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Not only cleanse your hands, deal thoroughly with current acts that you're convicted of, that bring guilt to your heart, but ask God to cleanse your inner thoughts. Purify your hearts. Cleanse your inner, purify your thoughts, your attitudes, even your motives. He says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Literally a divided interest. A disloyalty, in other words, to the Lord. Not a total loyalty to Him. Afflict. Have a deep feeling of misery and shame, which is the evidence that you have come under deep grip of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has gripped you, convicted you. He's brought grief into your heart and even has given tears. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and weep, he says in that ninth verse. Weep. Holy Spirit given tears. Turn. He said, let your laughter be turned to mourning. That particular verb, turned, is in a tense that means there is a force outside of you that is turning you. It's a force outside, it's a power outside of yourself. In other words, it's a picture of a person that is seized by the Holy Spirit of God through conviction over his or her disloyalty to the Lord, and as a result of that, it has brought brokenness to that person. Have you had emotional meltdowns over circumstances in your life lately? You know what we need? From time to time, we need spiritual meltdowns in which we just completely break down before the Lord over the spiritual recession that grips and defines our hearts. I think a spiritual meltdown of repentance, if I could put it that way. And then there's a fourth and a final part of the way out of this recession spiritually. And it's in the 10th verse. He says, humble yourselves. That's the fourth word. Submit, draw nigh, cleanse, and here, verse 10, humble. The word humble means to bring down to the ground. It means to level. The word humble is in such a tense that it is a command to voluntarily choose to allow yourself to be humbled by God. Why? Because He's God and you're not. Because of who He is. Because of who He is compared to who you are and how God sees you, and how God treats you, if that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will. If God treated us like we really deserve to be treated, none of us would have any hope. But God sees his people in a total different light than we often see ourselves. And he treats us with compassion and with mercy and with love. And that is humbling. Humble yourselves, he says, before the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, looking at him, and he'll lift you up. He'll exalt you, is the promise here. And I wrote this down. Only a personal realization of how incapable and how ignorant you and I personally are of choosing and guiding our own way will ever cause us to look to God for guidance. Only a personal realization of our own spiritual poverty will cause us to pray for the riches of his grace. Only a personal realization of our strengthlessness will ever cause us to draw upon his power. Only our personal realization of our sinfulness would cause us to call upon the Savior and enjoy his forgiveness. And only our humble enjoyment of the blessing of God's presence can meet the need of the spiritual recession we find ourselves in. He is the high and holy one that dwells in that high and holy place and dwells with them that are of a contrite and lowly heart. That's what he promises. And if you are honest in your evaluation of your current spiritual condition, are you in a spiritual recession or a period of spiritual expansion? Is it recession or expansion? Let's pray. Father, thank you for, again, the opportunity to come before you tonight. Thank you for these thoughts from James 4. And may we really be honest. May we not try to change the vocabulary and the definition of a recession when it comes to our spiritual life. May we be honest about it. And may we take the way out to submit and, of course, then resist the devil, to draw nigh and, of course, then to cleanse our hands and have you purify our heart, and then to humble ourselves in your sight. Bring us out of the spiritual slowdown, the hardness, the callousness, the lackadaisical, apathetic attitude that we often have toward you and the things of God. Awaken us. Quicken us. Breathe upon us, Spirit of the living God, we pray in Jesus' name.